Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's what I don't know. Trouble breathing, so I'm not sure how well I'll do today.
Are you sick?
Huh?
Are you sick?
No, just pain. In verse 2 it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." Talked about through the knowledge, the epignosis. But peace is a word that's used all the time, and it's like we slough it off. But there, peace means it's something that's so total that it is independent of anything else that is going on in the universe. It's the total and complete absence of againstness. It's the total and complete sense of well-being. It's the total place of having absolutely no wants or needs. It is so universe, it encompasses so many states of being that there is no reference point for it in human nature. In order to have the peace that is discussed and described in the scriptures that God has given to us, and He's given it to us by His grace, It is necessary for us to understand the full gospel of God, the full gospel into which we've been delivered. The idea that you've been perfected forever, the idea that you own all things so you can't want anything, the idea that all things exist for you and happen for your purposes so that you can't have any wish I were there kind of things. It is not a momentary sense that you can sometimes have a sense of peace if you watch a sunset or sunrise or see the Grand Canyon. It's a state of being that is complete, lacking nothing. There is no free-floating anxiety. There is no concern with what will happen next. There's obviously no worry because you know that you are totally in the hands of a loving Father and whose wrath is gone. The wrath was, you must see that the wrath was gone at the cross, so there can be no wrath in God, in the Father. There's chastisement, but we can glory in the chastisement, which the scriptures call affliction, because we know that it's for our good. But it is a state of being that has no home in human nature. Now, this is why you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was never what was said on Christmas or on the birth of Christ. And yet all the songs and everything is sung about it. It's that peace is given to those who are in Him. Now, if you don't have that peace, there's nothing that you can do to attain it. You can't learn more. You can't get more. You can't change anything. You can't fix it by having things go the way you think they should. There is only one singular way to have that peace that passes all understanding, and that is by total and abject and complete repentance. Leaving self totally behind. If you're in a state of peace, there can be no comparison. If you're in a state of peace, there are no if-onlys. There are no what-ifs. The state of peace has quieted the mind so that there is silence in the temple. Because you know that nothing, nothing, nothing above the earth, below the earth, no power, no devil, no person, nothing can affect it except you. Except your evil one, your being, your... That is your inheritance. That is your possession in Christ. Can you just for a moment taste it? What? It's the Word made flesh.
It's the work of God, not accomplished to make happen.
Kerry?
My experience has given me substance in myself to which what you just said sticks. I mean, there's a witness in me that what you say is true. I know it through experience. I would not know it had I not experienced it.
Anybody else? Anybody have any questions? Anybody have any doubts that this is true, or is this like watching a movie or listening to somebody that you think can speak well? Is this something you're just going to think about, or is it something that you're going to labor into entering into that perfect rest? That perfect peace is the rest that's talked about. That perfect peace is the Sabbath. That perfect peace is the life of Christ. Peace is it's a natural outcome.
The minute you try to control what happens next, it flies away.
I'm going to say this since Rutledge isn't here, since Skippy isn't here. I looked at Jesus and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove and he flew away. This is the problem with conference Christianity. Conference Christianity, really church Christianity, is really synagogue Judaism. And synagogue Judaism is illegal. There can be no Judaism without the temple. There can be no Christianity without the temple. But for us, the temple is our abode. We are seated on the mercy seat. We are on top of the food chain. We are as high as you can get. The problem is, to get as high as you can get, you have to become as low as it's physically and spiritually and everything possible. You are You are to be trodden under the foot of men. You will be an offscouring of all things. There will be nothing in the universe that can come against it. The mystery of humility, the mystery of emptying. The mystery of knowing that your mind is your mortal enemy. The mystery of knowing that your emotional response is a lie. The mystery of knowing that you can be taught and led from a source that you knew nothing about before. The mystery of a new race, a new thing, a new creation that you had no, that has absolutely no home in human nature. That you can bring nothing of your desires and your wants into it. That's why your desires and your wants are the things for which you have fornicated for. You've not just been a whore, you've been a stupid whore because you've paid your customers, according if you believe Ezekiel. How does it feel to be a stupid whore? I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. But it's not in the red words. But it's what? Aren't you tired of being a stupid whore, Harry? Do you ever know just how whore and Harry sort of it has a rhythm? Harry the whore? No, I haven't. There's a lot of things I can offend Joyce Anna with, but that's not one of them. Why would you give up peace? Why would you give up being an inheritor of all things? Why would you give up being perfected for a momentary little idea? It's time to pick on Gary. Huh?
I shouldn't have said anything.
Don't those little ideas, they're so exciting. Ooh, I got an idea. Ooh.
That's what I do.
Ooh. Now you've done it.
You know what I hear when you're talking about this piece? I see the Holy Spirit. It's like the lubricant of life, and without that lubricant, life isn't peaceful. It just turtles along, and the wheels can't turn because they're all frictioned up. But you know, and it just somehow the Holy Spirit seems to be this agency.
Of course, that's the only way it can happen.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit wipes you out in the process.
Yeah, you're not even a factor.
No, the degreaser.
Yeah. It degreases you.
It demucuses you.
I don't like that one.
Huh? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge, the epignosis of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's implicit that that's only done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't need anything to act except your emptiness. Remember when we've talked before about how everything in the universe reveals this? The sun beats down on a place, causes the air to heat up. When the air is heated, it rises. When it rises up, it creates a low pressure zone on the earth. And then when there's low pressure, We get hurricanes, tornadoes, massive thunderstorms. We get a threshing floor wind. And if you're the grain, the threshing floor wind is wonderful because it's blowing the chaff. The chaff is you, by the way. It's blowing everything that is not of him away. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, the epignosis, the mixing, the becoming flesh of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. A virtue isn't a moral attribute in the scriptures. The word virtue in the scriptures means divine power. Now, when the woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, he said he felt the loss of his virtue. That's the word that was used, remember? But it's the loss. There was a temporary divine power No, because it hit him unawares. It's like, boom, what happened? Who touched me?
She was empty. She was empty.
And she was healed. Yeah, she was empty because of her need. So there was a... She was able to receive it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the rot that is in the world through lust or greed. Wanting more than you have. Wanting things to be different. What a concept. That we have been given the right to be partakers of the divine nature. That the Word, the mystery of God, is being made flesh within us. That the sanctification, the word that nobody understands, everybody's got an opinion about what sanctification means. It means to be made holy. But the word sanctification just means the slow process by which it's remember that by the renewing of your mind be transfigured. Transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The renewing there is that great word, anakinesis. Means a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. A gradual conforming. So we are partakers of the divine nature. You're not just some little, poor little victim of the universe. You had to be in order to become a believer. But now you're at the top of the food chain. But you still act like you're a victim of the universe. I still got to. You own all things, yet you're struggling for more. Everything is existing for your purpose, and all things exist for you, yet you want to be someplace else. All you're saying to God is you want to escape the kingdom of light and return to the kingdom of darkness. You have escaped. You have fled. Just as in the Exodus, you have, in verse, where am I? I lost my place.
You're in four.
Yeah, four. Thank you, Ronnie. I knew you'd get, I knew I could depend on you. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, having fled in the same way that Israel fled Egypt, having your exodus from the world. But you still, remember these incredible words of Jesus, you are they that justify yourselves among men. Oh, I don't do that. Well, you do it by the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you respond to people, the way you act. It just proves that your source of being is other directed. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Think of that.
Pretty all-encompassing.
Oh, but God... if God didn't want there to be gay marriage, he wouldn't have made gays. And Job is in the New Testament. That's by our erstwhile form. He hopes to be President Dean. He's going to start showing people that he's religious. Show you one goddamn.
He didn't want to talk about it in public before because he didn't want to make people uncomfortable.
I'll show you one thing. I'm spiritual. But isn't that the same what you do? The only reason those kind of things happen is so we can see ourselves. That existed for your purpose, so you can repent. Not for us to make fun of them. Except we might make fun of them a little bit. That wouldn't be any fun if we didn't, huh?
We have a magazine.
Yeah, we have a magazine.
Think about it. It's the only reason those things exist is so you can feel good about yourself. That's the natural response that we battle with, because that's what happens when we hear somebody be stupid. We tough up and don't see it as an opportunity to repent, but an opportunity to go, he's a jerk.
That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped or fled or had your exodus from the corruption or rot or denigration that is in the world through lust and greed. Now it's axiomatic, it's tautological. I love that word. That if you have escaped the corruption, I mean, if you want to be a partaker of the divine nature, you must have escaped the corruption that's in the world. Now, that isn't just out there. That is, you have escaped you. You have fled from you. It has become strange and uncomfortable for there to be a sentence in your mind in which you are for which you are the subject, or of which you are the subject.
That's the answer to Paul's question, who shall free me from this body of sin and death?
So let's end this with peace. Know that this is available to you right now. the peace that passes all understanding, the peace where there is nothing, no, not even the slightest bit of anxiety or anxiousness, not the slightest concern for tomorrow, not the slightest concern for what you're going to do or what you're going to be when you grow up. What are you going to be when you grow up, John? I love that one commercial where it said, it isn't rocket surgery.
That's funny. The Eggo
commercial where the guys, they've invented Eggo syrup. And so the chairman of the board of the company is chiding them for not having invented syrup to go with the Eggos before. And he says, it isn't rocket surgery. Having peace isn't rocket surgery. It isn't rocket science. It isn't brain surgery. It is as simple as simplicity can be. It takes no intelligence. It takes no moral character. It requires no effort on your part except to walk away from you. And if you can do it once, if you can walk away from you once, do you know there are many reports to talk about the infantilism of society, that the greed-based society and even capitalistic society is a greed-based society because it's based on infantilism. It's based on wanting what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. Well, what do infants do for a little while? Infants play in their poop. They take poop and they throw it and they mold it. But it doesn't take very long for them to not do that because it becomes odious and odorous for them to do it. Well, can you stop playing in your poop? Can you stop making you the subject of your sentence? Can you finally figure out that for once and for all that any thought of you is playing in your poop? Any concern for self is trying to mold your dung. That's what repentance means. It's simply to walk away from dung. Not never to return and see if it's grown anything. But you have to, but it includes walking away from the dung in your mind. To know that you being the subject of your discussion, your mind talk, is playing in dung. To know that ideas are reshaping dung. To know that schedules are reshaping dung on time. What?
Not fooling with someone else's dung.
Well, that's really.
That's very bad.
Doesn't that think people should wash their hands often?
You need to wash the mouth of your mind out with lye soap.
Are we about done?
Does everybody understand perfectly? Anything that you don't understand, anything, any shadows or doubt? All right, take it, big guy.